Chapter 19, page 253. You've only got one set of numbers at the top of the page, so there's no chance of getting lost. Yeah, chapter 19, pay your tests. Inigeres HaKodesh, page Kuf Kof Zion, which is the page between 252 and 254. Aite ar kasalma v'goyma. It says, it's in Tehillim actually, the book of Psalms, that God spreads his light, the light, is talking actually about the sunlight, kasalma, like a garment. It's in Tehillim, in Psalms, Naita Shemaim Kayaria, that he spreads the heavens like a curtain, etc. Hine, belikrutei Tayra shel Arizal, Parshas Kisisa, or Parshas Vayikra, in the collected Torah of the Arizal, of course the Arizal is Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the famous, he's called Arizal for short, and the great Kabbalist of about 500 years ago. He writes, and he didn't write very much. His main writings were put down by his pupil, Reb Chaim Vital. His was his main pupil, and he wrote down many of his teachings. So most of what we have is actually from Reb Chaim Vital.
I'm actually reading a book on him.
Yeah, a biography. Yeah. So he writes there. He calls that he has sagas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem. That abbreviation stands for Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem. That the grasp of Moshe, meaning his realization and that kind of grasp, his mental grasp of godliness, loy hoysa bebchinas penimius de chokmei lo hanikra haba d'atzilus v'chol shekein b'sfiris hakeser shelamala mimeno hanikra arechampim. That what, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Jew who ever lived. As we say, lo kam kamosha oid novi. No other prophet ever arose like Moshe. That's a pasuk in the Chumash at the very end in Mosheh Sabrot. So we see that nobody surpassed Moshe's prophecy. When he prophesied, he obviously was seeing some vision, some spiritual vision, some heavenly vision, and was obviously seeing something from the higher worlds. And it was interpreted in terms of a prophecy, a prediction, or whatever he was told to say. But, says the Arizal, his vision did not reach the inner aspects of the higher level of wisdom, which is called in Kabbalistic terminology Abba, Datsilas, as we know, that the spheres, there are 10 spheres, the 3 intellectual spheres are Chokhmah, Bina, Das, the first 2, Chokhmah and Bina, are Kabbalistically called Abba the Ima, father and mother, because they are seen to generate the other attributes, just like a father and mother generate children. So Chokhmah d'Atzilus, the highest of the 4 worlds is the world of Atzilus. The highest level of the world is Chokhmah. So that is called Abba d'Atzilus. The Cholshke Misuris HaKesa. And he'd, all the more so that his grasp did not reach into, or was not able to grasp the Tzvira of Kesa. Now Kesa is Shalamar Mimena, is even higher. Hanikra Arechampin, that is called Arechampin. Actually, there are 2 parts of Kesa. And first of all, let's explain Kesa. We have discussed these things many times before. But the idea of Kesa, just like in a physical crown. A king wears a crown, a queen wears a crown. What is a crown? A crown is something that sits above the head. So it signifies something which is beyond what's in the head. Meaning, what's in the head is the brain, which is the intellectual power within a person.
Would you say a sin signifies one's rank?
It signifies one's rank. There are obviously different crowns, that is true. So the queen has one kind of crown, you know, the crown jewels, and then the princesses have a smaller crown. Yes, but it's the principle that we're trying to illustrate, not the detail of what kind of crown they're wearing. We're trying to illustrate the principle that the crown represents something above the head.
Yeah.
And what is the head famous for? Thinking. The head is thought, intellect, ideas,
theories.
So that is what's in the mind. The crown is what is above. The question is, what is above the mind? What is there that's above the mind? Well, of course, we know that God, one of the reasons that is put forward as to why Jews always have to wear a hat, is because we want to show that we believe that there's something above our intellect. All other nations worship the intellect. The intellect, you know, science, literature, culture, all of these things are, you know, the great achievements of mankind. It's through intellect. A Jew declares, you know something, I might have a very powerful intellect, but I always must remember that there's something above my intellect. And that is the godly power, which is superior to all the other powers in the world, including the intellect. So, the crown signifies a level of attachment to God, which is even superior to the intellect. And that level of attachment to God is called keser. We can't go into all the details of keser now, but one of the ways of understanding it is that there is within a person a more powerful attribute, let's call it, than even intellect.
What's an attribute?
An attribute is
Midah?
A characteristic.
A midah.
A midah. Yeah. Okay. If you understand the word midah, so that.
A characteristic midah.
Or an attribute. Yeah? You don't like the word attribute.
No, I'm alright.
You're alright.
Are you alright?
Yeah, so it explains in Hasidus that there is something that's actually more powerful, and it's something very easily understood, more powerful than our intellect, and that is our will. The will. The ability to want something. Why is that more powerful than the intellect? Because that directs the intellect what to think about. What do we think about? We think about things that we want to achieve, that we want to acquire. Any intellectual pursuit, first of all, must be directed by and motivated by some will. Why am I studying this? Why am I delving into this? Why am I researching this? Why am I doing it? You know, why am I researching mathematics and not physics? Why am I researching music and not painting? Because I'm interested in music. I want to play music. I want to listen to music. So the wanting, the will, actually precedes the intellect. Hence, the idea of keser contains within it the idea of the will. In Hebrew this is called rotza. And there's an even deeper attribute, or midah, you can call it, and that is tainuk, which means pleasure. Because God has created us as pleasure-seeking creatures. We look for things that give us pleasure, and we shun things that give us pain. So it's the pleasure, the way classically this is seen in Hasidus, is the pleasure that we derive from something generates the will to acquire that thing, and the will sparks the intellect as to how to acquire it. Whatever pursuit that is. So the scientist is looking for the solution to a problem.
Yeah.
Because that problem, once solved, will enable him to achieve something that he wants, and that in turn is caused by the pleasure that it will give him to achieve it. So when they were beginning to develop flight, the intellectual investigations into how to make a plane fly was because there was a will. Some scientist earlier on, you know, maybe 50 years before, started looking at birds and thinking, wouldn't it be marvelous if we could fly? Yeah, so that is an expression of will. I want to fly. And then that, oh, how do we go about it? Start going into it, intellectual investigations, but it's the will to do it that comes first. So that is the way Hasidus explains the concept of keser. So of course, this applies within the spiritual world as well. That above the highest level of intellect, which is the Chochmah of Atzilus, you have the divine will, which is expressed by keser. As I said before, there are two levels of keser. One, the lower level is the will, the rotzayin, which is in Kabbalistic terminology is called Arich Anpin, which literally means the long face. We won't go into why it's called that now. And the higher level, which is the Pnimius HaKeser, as it's called, the inner aspect of keser, which refers to Tainug, the pleasure, which is the motivating force for everything, that is called Atik Yomin, Atik. Atik means something removed on the even higher or deeper level. So, what he's now saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest level of Nevuah that could be achieved by or attained by any human being. But even so, he did not fully understand the deepest levels of godliness as represented by Keser, which is higher than Chochmah. Ki im bebchinas acharayim bechochmah, ham lebeshes bebina, ham mislabeshes bezayin tzvirus tachtoines. Shenikra zot. What did he grasp? What was he able to grasp? As he says, bebchinas acharayim. He was able to grasp something which is described as being looking at it from behind. That's very easy to understand, the analogy of looking from behind. If you want to relate to some other human being, the normal way of relating to another human being is to talk to them, and you look them in the face. Eye to eye, ponim el ponim, face to face. What would be if you're talking to somebody and he's got his back to you? Okay, you can talk to them, but you can't call that a close relationship. No. They've got their back to you. You know, that's body language.
Yeah.
If you're not that interested in someone else, you turn your backs on them. You turn your back on them.
Yeah.
It's showing a lack of pnimius, a lack of inner relationship. So you've got a relationship, it's something, because when they turn around and put their back to you, they can hear what you're saying. And they will respond. They'll answer.
I'm not answering that one.
Turn it off.
Yeah, so that's Bechinas Acharayim. It's a relationship, it's something. You can see, you might not even recognize who it is from behind. Sometimes you look at a person, I know this guy, but you can't see who because you can't see his face. So there's a relationship there, but it's not a very deep one. It's much less involved and much less inner than if you see face to face. So this is Bebchinas Acharayim, very easy analogy to understand. So Moshe Rabbeinu has got some glimpse of these high levels, but it's from behind. He's not seeing the full image. And the wisdom itself is enclosed in Bina, and that in turn is enclosed in the lower attributes, or midas, or spheres, which are the seven emotional ones, in the world of Atzilus, and that is called Zoh, standing for Zeir Anpin. Very often Zeir Anpin is only six of the attributes. That's all of them, the seven excluding Malchus. Sometimes, like over here, it is also including Malchus as well, as he says, the seven spheres, which are called Zoh. So we see that sometimes Zoh is with Malchus and sometimes without Malchus. Most times it's without. Sod HaTorah, and this is the secret of the Torah, because when the intellectual attributes of God, because God, the Torah is called the Chochmah of Hashem. It's like a revelation of God's wisdom coming from the highest level, the highest world, the world of Atzilus, and it is the Chochmah of Atzilus, But of course it has to come down through all the levels in order to be understood by lower beings like us, who are living in this physical world.
Can you repeat the last bit about the Chochmah?
The Torah is a manifestation of God's wisdom. But we can't understand God's wisdom as it is in the world of Atzilus, because that's the highest of the four spiritual worlds, and it's the highest level within that world. So Chochmah is not something that we can really understand, not anyway. Only when Chochmah is mislabesh, is enclosed in lower levels, lower attributes, lower midas, lower spheres, and comes down through the whole chain system, and comes down into a Torah that we, you know, into Mesholim, parables, situations that we can understand. I'll give you an example, which the previous Rebbe uses as an example in his writings. So, for example, it says the first Mishnah in Bava Metzia says that what happens if two people find a talus? A talus doesn't necessarily mean a prayer shawl, although it means that as well. It can mean just a cloak. So it says, Shnayim oichzim b'talus. Zeh oime sheli v'zeh oime sheli. Or zeh oime ani mutzasiya v'zeh oime ani mutzasiya. This one says, I found it, and the other one says, I found it. So what do? You've got an argument over here, and they're both tugging on this talus. This way and that way.
Cut it in half.
Well, that's one suggestion. Yachloiku, that's one of the suggestions. Yeah, yachloiku, they should cut it in half. If it's a talus, a prayer shawl type talus, and you cut it in half, it's not much use, is it? But that is one of the things the Mishnah says. But we're not going into what the halacha is now. There's different opinions as to what should happen. However, the previous Rebbe explains that this Mishnah can be learned in Gan Eden as well. Not can be, but is. Because what are the Neshamas doing in Gan Eden? What are they doing up there?
Studying.
They're not playing chess. So what are they doing?
Studying.
They're learning Torah. That's Ne'ni Miziv Ashkinah. What?
Yeah,
Ne'ni Miziv Ashkinah. That having benefit or pleasure from the shining forth of the Divine Presence. But what they're just sitting there looking like in the bright... the bright light, nothing. Well, we're told that they're learning Torah over there. But do they learn the Torah the way we learn the Torah? In heaven, where the souls are, they don't know what a physical cloak is anymore. They're not involved with that anymore. One of the things about the Neshama going back to Gan Eden is that they go through a process of forgetting this world. Because remembering the experiences of this world are a disturbance to the neshama. They're an actual disturbance.
Yeah.
So they have to go through a process of forgetting this world. Before the neshama takes its place in Gan Eden, there's a number of processes it goes through. And these processes are aimed at cleansing the neshama of the effects of living in this world and being embroiled in a physical world. And of course, not to mention having sometimes done something wrong, which we won't go into that. Yeah, that even more cleansing has to take place if that happens. But even if a neshama did not do anything wrong, they're a tzaddik. But they have, what's called chizud ha'alma. They have a vision of this world. They've got the experience of this world, of living in the physical world, is attached to the neshama in a certain way. And it disturbs their experiences. I mean, we can understand this if a person, let's say, is listening to music. They're listening to a very beautiful piece of music and they really enjoy that. And then they hear next door, someone's playing a different piece or they're banging. It's disturbing what you're doing now. You don't want to hear other noise. You want this noise. You want the beautiful noise of the music. You don't want to hear other noises. The experiences of this world, Chizud the High Alma, disturb the Neshama as it is in Gan Eden. So having dealt with that, we now realize that the Neshamas in Gan Eden, once they settle down and take their place in Gan Eden, they have actually forgotten what it means to experience a physical thing in this world. It's not forgotten, it's been taken away from them. They don't want it. It's a disturbance.
Neither of them want the talit.
Neither of them. So how in Gan Eden would they be learning about a talus? So the Friedrich Rebbe explains that a talus is what's called a makif. A makif means something that surrounds the body, it envelops. So in the spiritual worlds, there are iris makifim and iris pnimim. Iris makifim means there are divine lights which surround the worlds, or surround the neshama, or surround anything. Not physically surround, but like transcend. And there are iris pnimim, which means inner rays of godly light which shine into. So he explains that when a person does a mitzvah in this world, it creates a makif. It creates an iron makif, which means a tremendous light in Gan Eden, and which is called a surrounding light. It's so powerful, it can't even be tapped really, even by the neshamas properly. So these two neshamas are arguing over a mitzvah that was done in this world. And each one says, Anima Tasiya, I found it, meaning I generated this godly light that's in Gan Eden through my mitzvah. And the other one says, no, it was done through my mitzvah. They're arguing about who generated this godly light over there. So that's the talus. The talus is the makif. So what I'm saying is that the Torah, what he's saying is, the Torah is the Chokhmah of Hashem. But the way the Chokhmah of Hashem is in the world of Atzilus, none of us could understand a word of that. We wouldn't be able to relate to it at all, because the world of Atzilus is far beyond our ken. It's just beyond us. So how are we able to learn Torah? The answer is, the Torah's been brought down through the levels, through the spheres, through the midas, through the chain system of creation, Ishtalshlus, from world to world, until it comes down into this physical world and manifests itself in a physical talus. But the Aram Makif of the Aram Atzilus comes down and manifests itself in a real cloak down here, something that envelops the body. And then we can learn about cloaks, we can learn about talasim, we can learn about arguing over what belongs to whom. And every single thing in Torah is like this. Shor shenogeh chesapara, an ox gored a cow. Yeah? What's an ox in spiritual terms? What's a cow in spiritual terms? That's what they're learning in Gan Eden. There's a spiritual ox and a spiritual cow. But we down here learn about a physical ox and a physical cow. And that's the way the Torah is in this world. So that's what he means by Umispashetes Atsoib Dalat Sphere Satakta in Hashem Nim. The Torah goes down through the... Now he's only saying that the Torah and the wisdom of Hashem seeps down, so to speak. But Moshe Rabbeinu did know what was going on in the world of Atzilus. So he understood godliness the way it percolated from Keser down through Chochmah Atzilus, then Bina, then Das, then Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach. Oh, now we got to the stage of what Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He was able to understand right up to the level of Netzach of Olam Atzilus, of the world of Atzilus. That's the Nehim, when it says over here Nehim, yeah? Shehem Nehim. That stands for Nehim, stands for Netzach, Hoid, Yesod, Malchus. Meaning that if he was able to understand Netzach, then knowing the chain system is going down, he was obviously able to understand Hoid, and he was obviously able to understand Yesod, and obviously able to understand Malchus, because they're low. He was able to reach up to Netzach, which means all the lower levels he knew. So that's what the Arizal says, that's the level that Moshe Rabbeinu reached. V'sham haisa sagas nevuasa, v'b'chines pnimius. And that's where Moshe's nevuah got to, meaning he understood his nevuahs, the way they were and the way they were meaningful on that level of Netzach of Atzilus, which is an extremely high level. And for us, it's way, way beyond anything we can even imagine.
How high did the Ari understand?
Oh, so that's what we're talking about now.
How did you know
to ask that question?
Oh, because the Ari says how high Moshe understood up to Netzach.
This is the question which the Alter Rebbe is asking. For Shom, I say, Sagas Nevuasa B'chinas Pnimius. The Hainu, B'chinas Pnimius to Nehim. That Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand the inner aspects of Nehim, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, in the world of Atzilus. Avol, we're getting on to the question. It's a very good question because that's the subject of this chapter.
Avol,
right. Avol, Maila Minahim, but higher than that level of Netzach, Hayyusayd, Malchus in the world of Atzilos, Lai Haisa, Lai Shum, Hasaga, between years, over the page 254. Moshe Rabbeinu had no grasp at all of anything higher than Netzach.
Still high.
As you say, still high, right? We have enough knowledge to know that it's very high. You know, that much we do know. We don't know what's there, but we know we've got four worlds to get through. We're in the Asir. And then you go up to Yetzirah. And then you go up to Bria. And then you go up to Atzilus. And in Atzilus, you go up to Netzach. Ooh, now we know we're very, very high. That's all we can say, because we don't know what's there. But Moshe Rabbeinu not only knew what the height of it, he also understood it, Bipnimius, which means he really was there. Moshe Rabbeinu relates to the spheres of Netzach, because the seven shepherds, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, correspond to the spheres. So Avram is Chesed, Yitzhak is Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes, Moshe is the next one, that's Netzach. That's the fourth sphere. So Moshe corresponds to Netzach. That means he belongs there. That's his level. That means his natural level is to understand that level. Because that's where he belongs. That's his... Moshe's child is why he's not higher. Why is he not higher than Avraham Avinu? Since his Nevuah was higher than anybody else. That's a different question. So, Bibkiyim, Bibkines, Acharayim, Bechachma, Mulebeshes, Bibbina, Amulebeshes, Mishpashetes, Tai, Panimius, Tanim. Beside Naivas Chachma, Shalamaila. So what does it mean? What does it mean he understood that level of Netzach? But what did he understand? He understood what? The Torah. And what is the Torah? Chachma. So he understood Chachma of Atzilus, but only as it was filtered by the level of Netzach in the world of Atzilus. He didn't understand Bipnimius, anything above that. So everything filters down, as we said before. The Torah is filtering down from Chochmah d'Atzilus right down to this world, and we're learning the Torah the way it relates to the Mishalim, the parables of this world. But Moshe was able to learn Torah on the level of Netzach d'Atzilus. His Mishalim, his parables were meaningful to him on that high level. But beyond that, he also didn't know exactly what was going on. Right? That's what was said. Shehi b'chinazza, as we said before, that Torah relates to it comes down through the seven spheres, which are called za. Ugedichsibara isa sachoiroi ulfonai lo yeirou. That's what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa, after the Egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu begged for forgiveness for the Jewish people, and God forgave them. Because Hashem, and then God told Moshe that he's going to teach him how to daven and say Hashem, Hashem, ke racham lechanan. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized this is what's called an eis rotzo, a time of goodwill. Hashem had been allowed himself to be persuaded by Moshe's prayers to save the Jewish people and forgive them. And when a person's in a forgiving mood, so to speak, we don't use the word mood in relation to Hashem, but we can use these terms to help us understand it. So when a person's in a forgiving mood, it's like a time of goodwill, you can ask them something else as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Hareini no'ez kvedecha. Show me your glory. Show me what you really are. You know, he's asking for something that he couldn't normally ask for. You don't just go barging in, oh, Hashem, show me. Now, as an eis rotzon, he's just been davening, and Hashem has accepted his prayer, and he's, so to speak, we say in Yiddish, he's like persuaded him to forgive, and Hashem says, okay, I'll forgive. So that's, the mood has changed, so to speak. Of course, Hashem doesn't have moods, we're just using it in a kind of parable in human terms. So Moshe sees Hashem, he's in a very forgiving and giving mood, so you now want to cash in on it and ask for something which you wouldn't normally ask for. Hareini no'ez kvedecha, show me the secret of your reality. Hashem's response to him was, I will show you something, but you're not going to see the way it really is. V'ra'isa es achoyro, you will see me kaviyochel, so from behind, Well, fanai leiru, but you won't see me from the front. As we described before, the marshal of talking to a person from behind. You're able to relate, you're able to talk, but it's not very pneumistic.
He showed him very tefillin for the...
Right, hero, keshashal tefillin, he showed him the knot on his tefillin. Okay, that's all part of it. But the nekuda of it is that Moshe was told, you will not see things from an inner pneumistic point of view, it'll only be achoiroi. From behind, meaning not the full revelation. The person is standing there, but he's got his back to me. Okay, I see something, but I don't see the whole thing. I wouldn't recognize his face if I saw him again, because I can't see the face. So therefore, Ayin Shon. Uveshan Avu Perika. So have a look there, in the Kisvei Arizal, if you want to see this in the original, and also in the Shan Nevuah, he also writes about Nevuah itself, Perik Aleph, he writes there the same thing. So now the Alter Rebbe asks your question, which is, Ulechaira Yeshla Hafli, it would seem to be an amazing thing, Hari Nem Avaloi Kom Novi Oy Bisol Kamaisha. It says in the Pasuk, as we said before in Parshas Vayeshlach Habrach, just at the time that Moshe passed away, that no one arose in the Jewish people as a Novi, like Moshe. Ve'eich Hisig Arizal Yosem Imenu. How could the Arizal get to a higher level than Moshe? Because how do we know that the Arizal knew and understood things on a higher level than Moshe? Because he spoke about them. Yeah, the Dorash came to Rushim bepchinas pnimius afida besfirus ma'pegas rabbis shalemala me'achokma v'kesed atzilus. The Arizal spoke about, his Rushim means discourses. He spoke about the inner aspects of the spheres and the levels higher than even Chochma of Atzilus, and even Kesed Atzilus. There are higher levels than Kesed as well. There's Panemius at Kesed, as we said before, the inner aspects of Kesed as well. So there's two levels of Kesed, one within the other, one higher than the other. And then beyond Kesed there's also, there's levels beyond Kesed also. You will learn Maimorim, the Rebbe brings, the Rebbein brought, obviously, having the fact the Arizal has like opened the gates to be able to talk about these levels. I remember seeing a sikha from the Rebbe where the Rebbe talked about that we were taught, meaning he was taught, that we don't talk about Kaidam Atzimtzum. We were not unable to talk about Kaidam Atzimtzum. The Tzimtzum Arishon, that means. Because in the...
What is Tzimtzum?
Tzimtzum means the contraction of the godly light. Which we talked about often, the whole Seydish Tarshus, the whole chain system of creation, is after the Tzimtzum, after God had contracted his godly light, and then some light is left. And that light is used to, is filtered and filtered and filtered, and it creates a whole chain system right coming down to this world. But Kaidem at Tzimtzum, where the godly light fills all of creation without any restriction on it at all, that's called Kaidem at Tzimtzum. It's a level which is beyond any imagining at all, where godliness is totally revealed and no creature can exist. So the Rebbe says in this Sikha that we were taught always that you can't talk to Kaidam Atzimtzum. There's nothing to say. It's so beyond any analysis. Then the Rebbe comes back and says, but we find in certain places there's a reference and a discussion of even Kaidam Atzimtzum. Symptom Arishan before the... And the Rebbe proceeds to start talking about it. So we see the Arizal maybe didn't talk about the highest level that it's possible to talk about. But the later Rebbeim did. Okay, that's just a by the way. But anyway, the point of it is, the question is, and we have to start finishing now. Yeah, we have to finish. Well, I'll give you quickly the answer which he gives, and then you won't... Because if I didn't give you the answer, you won't be able to sleep tonight, right? So I have something of the answer I have to give. So basically the question is exactly what you touched upon when you said, and what did the Arizal see? As if to say, and you rightly said, he must, we know, I feel I saw, that he saw more. Is that what you were saying?
I was asking, no, I thought if Moshe stopped to Atzir, I thought, and how far up did the Arizal
stop? You were going in reverse.
Yeah,
and then
I was going to ask
about grasped that he actually saw more. So the question the Alter Rebbe is asking is the exact opposite. The Arizal, we have evidence from his writings and his sayings that he was talking about things on a higher level of Netzach, of Atzilus. How is that possible? When Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi that could ever arise in the Jewish people. And he only was able to see to the level of Netzach, of Atzilus. And the Arizal is quite happy to talk about higher than that, Chochmat Atzilus, Keser, and even higher than Keser. So we have a question here. How could the Arizal see higher than Moshe? When Moshe is supposed to be the greatest Navi there is. The very simple answer, which he develops in the chapter, is very simple, but he talks about it more at length, is that the Arizal was not talking from prophecy. What he was telling us was not Nevuah. The level of Nevuah of the Arizal, we don't know exactly what it was, but for sure it was less than Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Pasuk says that Moshe was the greatest Navi that ever lived. That means his level of perception of when he was giving his nevuahs was higher than any nevuah that of any other Navi. That is 100% sure. So even if the Arizal was a Navi, and of course we do know that he was a Navi also, his nevuah was definitely lower than Moshe Rabbeinu's. But what the Arizal was telling us was things he had learned, things he had that came from his wisdom, from his learning, from his delving. Maybe it was a different kind of revelation to him of what was going on up there, but it was not Nevuah. In other words, he was talking as a Chacham and not as a Navi. So he, using his Chachma, was able to know things that are higher than the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But now we make a very simple addition to all of this. Moshe's Chachma was for sure greater than the Arizal's Chachma. So now we have two levels. The Nevuah of Moshe reached up to there. The Nevuah of the Arizal reached to a lower point. The Chochmah of the Arizal reached higher than Moshe's Nevuah. And of course, the Chochmah of Moshe reached higher than the Chochmah of the Arizal. That's obvious. So now we have an answer to the problem. It's the Chochmah of the Arizal versus the Nevuah of Moshe. So that's no problem, because Chochmah can reach higher than Nevuah. As the expression goes, Chacham Adif Mi Navi. A Chacham is higher than a prophet. Because prophecy is like being there. But being there is different to understanding. You know, when you're trying to understand something, you can be down here and you're looking up there. You know, the astronomers are looking at the stars at billions of miles away. We're down here, the astronomers are down here on Earth, and they're looking up there, so they know what's going on. Billions of miles away. Yeah? But they didn't change their position. They're still down on earth. That's Chochmah. Using their Chochmah, using their observance of the various phenomena going on in the sky, they realize, oh, that's going on up there. That's Chochmah. It's not Nevuah. Nevuah means they were actually there. If they would take a rocket and go a billion miles away and start telling us what's going on up there, that's Nevuah. That's the equivalent of Nevuah. That they're actually there. So Moshe Rabbeinu with his Nevuah was actually there in the world of Atzilus and the level of Netzach. Chochmah, you can think about things much higher than that. You can intellectually, you can be down here and think up there. And that's what the Chachamim did. The Chachamim, the Bali Kabbalah and so on, they were able to talk about levels without going there. They weren't on that level themselves, but they were able to talk about it. They had insights into it, maybe. Where they came from, okay, there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's different ways in which they were informed of these things. Could be they learned from a Rebbe, and as we know, the Baal Shem Tov learned from Achia Shiloni, who was a Navi. Achia Shiloni came back into this world to teach the Baal Shem Tov the Pnimius of Torah, the inner aspects of Torah. So how did the Baal Shem Tov know it? He couldn't work it out for himself.
He was a Navi, Achia Shiloni.
He was a Navi, yeah, who lived in the time of David HaMelech. According to the Rambam, he came out of Mitzrayim as well. He lived for a very long time.
And he came into Russia to teach the Alter Rebbe.
Not the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov.
The Baal Shem Tov.
Yeah. obviously he revealed himself to him. We understand that it was possibly in a body as well, but we know that Eliyahu HaNavi comes back that it can be in a body also. It's not a surprise to us to hear that Achia Shiloni came back as a body, or maybe he didn't come back as a body. I don't know. I haven't seen a ruling on that as to whether the Achia Shiloni came back in a bodily form or not. But we are told that the Achia Shiloni taught the Baal Shem Tov Pnimius HaTorah, that all the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov that we are learning, when we learn Chassidus, we're learning the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, that was taught to him. You can't make these things up, you've got to be taught. So a Chacham, he can think about the things he's been taught, but he has to be told these things. So not in a way of Nevuah, but in a way of information, of Chachmah, of being given over information and knowledge. Being told, Azoy is, that's the way it is. I'll help you understand it. But that's the way it is. I'm telling you how it is. So this is higher than this, and this is higher than this, and so on. And these are the names of the various levels. These things you can understand. Because that's what we learn about when we learn Chassidus. The Tzemach Tzedek explains in Derech Mitzvah Secha that all of these things that we're learning about, we don't know what they are. That's called Yedias Hamahus. The knowing what something is. Mahus means Mahu. What is it? What is it? Oil Matzilus. What is it? Tell me what it is. Nobody knows what it is. We can learn about it. Atzilus is higher than Bria. Bria is higher than Yetzirah. I know this is higher than that, and this is higher than that. And this is on the right, and this is on the left, and so on. Relationships. I can understand relationships. But what it is, what is Netzach of Atzilus? Can't tell you. That's called Yedias HaMetzius. I only know it exists, and this level is higher than that level, and this one's lower than that level. That I can talk about. But tell me, now I'll say, what is Netzach and Atzilus? Sorry, I can't tell you. Because I don't have Yedias HaMahus. I don't have the actual nature of the thing itself. I don't know what it is. When it comes to Nevuah, then the Navi does know what it is. Moshe Rabbeinu did know what Netzach and Atzilus was. He was there. That's the Nekuda. He was actually experiencing it. When it comes to Chachmah, I can talk about higher levels without being there. That basically is the answer given in this chapter, Mirtz Hashem. Next week we will continue.